Tired of long waits and rushed care at the ER and urgent care clinic? Next time, stay home and let Dispatch Health bring the power of the hospital to you.
I call Dispatch Health. A care team of medical professionals actually come to your house.
They're the same caliber of people that you would see if you were at a hospital or an urgent care.
Dispatch Health can treat most non-life-threatening emergencies.
They can do the x-rays, they can do stitches,
urinary tract infections, blood tests, urinalysis, ultrasound.
It's almost everything that they can do at the ER.
You never feel rushed. They're there for you and only you.
I felt like their only patient.
And it costs no more than a trip to urgent care because Dispatch Health is covered by most insurance, including Medicare. See if we serve your home at dispatchhealth.com.
Dispatch Health really went above and beyond.
It's wonderful to have care come to your home.
House calls are back, and they're better than ever. Learn more at dispatchhealth.com.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
I hope we can stop pretending now. It's my hope that after what we've seen in the last week or so, when the chips are down, when there's lots of stress, or even if it's just a normal rank and file day, Joe Biden is not up to the task of being the occupier of the Oval Office. He's not up to the job that he currently occupies. Many of you saw Joe Biden in the middle of a press availability, making reference and looking around the room for a congresswoman. Her name was Jackie Walorski. I say her name was that is because she passed away 2 months ago. Joe Biden announced it, gave his condolences, ordered flags flown at half staff. At least that's what we were told he did. But he's at this event touting a bipartisan food insecurity bill. And wondering, where's Jackie? Where's Jackie Walorski? Where is she? And of course, she passed away 2 months ago. Folks, I am not being political here. Trust me when I tell you that. If this were a Republican president who was demonstrating this clear, demonstrable mental decline, I would be alarmed and I would be passing on alarm to all of you. Because we seem to be told with a wink and a nod, don't worry, Joe Biden's not making the decisions. Remember when Joe Biden got on 60 Minutes and said that we'd send troops over there to defend Taiwan if China invaded our ally? Remember that? And then the White House came out and said, no. The occupier of the Oval Office, the man they call president, the president's words are not the official White House policy. And then we all started saying, well, wait a minute. He's the dude who allegedly got elected, right? Isn't that what you've all been telling us? He's the one who's been elected that you claim 81 million Americans pulled the lever for? That's the dude, right? Well, if he's not making the decisions, then who the hell is? We asked the question, right? So now here he comes out and he's looking for dead people at a press availability. And we're told, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Don't worry. Everything's taken care of. Everything's fine. This is absolutely normal. No, this is not normal. Karine Jean-Pierre, his new brain, said, Walorski was top of his mind. Right. And that's when James Rosen, Newsmax White House correspondent, said, yeah, you know what? I've got John Lennon on my mind a lot. I don't look around for him to come into the room. And to which Karine Jean-Pierre stopped the press conference. I don't want to talk about this anymore. We're moving on because we're dictators here and we don't want to address the uncomfortable elephant in the room. And it's not even an elephant because, elephants don't forget. Joe Biden forgets all the time. And it's a national security issue. It is a American security issue as far as our finances are concerned. The guy at the top, allegedly at the top, has not a command of his mental faculties, period. And if he's being overridden because he's got nothing upstairs, who's making these decisions? And don't we have the right to know? And does it make us partisan for saying, gee, I think we have the right to know? I don't think it does. And by the reaction of the press corps, they melted down last week when Karine Jean-Pierre suggested, hey, man, when you become president and you pass a law that brings up or marks John Lennon, then we can have this conversation. That's what she said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's in essence what she said, which of course made no sense, which makes me wonder who's really the person who lost their mind. What's her name? Kamala Harris, the border czar, says we have a really tight relationship with the People's Republic of North Korea. No, it wasn't North Korea. South Korea is who we have the relationship with. She didn't know because she's a complete idiot. So I'm starting to wonder who is more mentally compromised, Joe Biden, his new brain, his spokesperson, or the failed border czar? And these are all fair questions for the American people to ask. And we will ask about it in the show behind the show, the Salcedo Storm Podcast, next.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
All right, friends, it's time for our visit, our weekly visit with Sean Chastain, the show behind the show. Hey, man.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Still pondering and thinking about the ramifications of something that came down the middle of last week and have just been dying to run it by you because, frankly, I've got to be honest with you. I think this is me transcending politics. Everybody heard by now that Joe Biden was looking around at a press conference for a woman who was a congresswoman who had died 2 months earlier, expecting her to be there, even though this guy issued a condolence letter and also ordered flags to be flown at half staff in her honor. He's there looking for her at a signing event or at some sort of legislative event for a bill that she had worked on before her passing. So, man, I just think it's time to have this discussion about, is it safe for us to have somebody in that job who is that compromised?
I think even worse than that episode was the one that happened either yesterday or today. Have you seen the video of him leaving the stage at the FEMA press conference?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's tragic. It really is, because he's clearly not there. And man, it's very scary, you know? It's just that, I guess... to bring it down to a personal level, you know, it's like having that conversation with your parents about driving.
Yeah.
Except this guy's driving the United States. And it's frightening, and it's really scary, man. That when I saw the FEMA video, I just couldn't believe it. And I hope you put that up on the podcast or somehow let people see that if they haven't yet, but man, it's really, really bad.
It's going to be up on the on the social media stuff, but about you brought up having that conversation with your parents about driving when they get too on in years. My in-laws had to have that conversation with my grandmother-in-law. She was 93.
Yeah.
And the day that she was that she had admitted to us that she was driving on the wrong side of the road and could have killed somebody. That's when they had to have the come to Jesus moment. And now we've got a cat who's allegedly making decisions in the Oval Office on our country's behalf. And if, And if the Democrats and the folks who are in the White House say, don't worry, we're not going to let him do anything crazy or nutty. Well, wait a minute. This guy is elected. Who the people who are making the real decisions then, who elected them? I think it's a fair question.
Yeah. Oh, it's very fair, yeah. But it's just tragic. It's at this point, it's just sad to see that, you know? I would say that about anybody, to see them doddering off of stage like that, or looking around for a dead woman. It's just sad. And, you know, I don't wish anything bad on him, but it's really time. And I know nothing's going to happen for another 40 days, but, you know, that's until after the midterms. But they got to really seriously be looking at some kind of move.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And you see, when you get past a feeling sorry for Joe Biden, then you start worrying about our people. You start worrying about how, I mean, can you imagine being China and watching that FEMA video and going, oh my gosh, it's time to dethrone the United States. I mean, they could invade. There's no, we have no leadership.
I don't know about an invasion, but they certainly could do some economic harm. They could do some incredible harm against Taiwan. You know, it would, and what would be the response? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And your point about the people pulling the strings aren't people we elected, man. That's just, it's terrifying where their heads are at because we don't even know who they are.
Right. And that's the broader point. Here's a guy who is clearly mentally compromised. And so they say and they seem to be saying this with a wink and a nod. Well, everybody knows he's not making the decisions. Well, great. Then who is, and when do we get to know the name, and then who elected them? Right?
Yeah, that's it. That's the main thing, is who is pulling the strings and what are they thinking? I mean, is it all just crazy tree-hugging green people?
Well, do we have the right to know? Do we have the right to know?
I would think so. You know?
I'm going to go definitely yes in a representative republic who you're supposed to elect your representatives. Right. I'd say yes. You have a guy sitting in the Oval Office who is a figurehead and nothing in his head, and and you people, decisions are getting made. So it is fair to say, well, who the hell's making them?
Yeah, it's going to be a long 2 years, buddy, if this continues.
No, I concur. I concur. How you feeling, by the way? I heard you coughing a couple of times.
Sorry.
Hold on.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, you're just coughing up a couple of lungs there. I don't think you have any more.
No, it's this damn post-nasal drip. I don't know what's causing it. I don't know. I mean, there is...
I got the same thing.
Crap all over my truck when I get in the morning. Like, my house is surrounded by huge pecan trees.
Sap. It's sap, dude. Yeah.
They're spitting off the sap, and it's just... I don't know if that's it. I don't know if something else is blowing in, but it's... I feel great, and my head's not stopped up, really. It's just the... You know, that goes down the back of your throat.
Yeah, I get it.
Makes you gag. It's gross. I hate it. And it's driving me insane.
And apologies to the Salcedo Storm podcast, show behind the show audience, having to hear Sean Chastain cough up a lung. You wouldn't hear that on traditional radio. We would have a cough button, but hey, this is podcasting. So
hey, there you go, man.
What the hell? Hey, what's on your evaluation the week that was and coming into the new week?
Yeah. In fact, it's funny that you brought the whole Biden time to have the talk about driving thing up, because that's kind of where I wanted to go. I saw that FEMA video this afternoon, and it just scared the hound out of me and just made me real sad for that whole scene, you know. But other than that, it was kind of a quiet week. I didn't really pay attention to much, and you know, other than work and traffic, just continually driving me crazy.
Well, let me share some things I've been finding on that have new episodes coming out.
Okay.
Did you enjoy The Karate Kid when it was in the movie theater?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and there was they got, as sequels tend to do, they had a great Karate Kid, then the next one was good, the next one was eh, and then the one after that was just, are you kidding me, stop, you know, just stop. But they resurrected the Karate Kid in something called Cobra Kai on Netflix. It's probably the only thing they really got going over there on Netflix, to be honest with you. And they just had the newest season drop, and it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Was it? Because I watched the first three, I guess, first three seasons, and it just kind of got silly that all these high school kids were fighting in high school, and didn't seem like anything was happening to them as far as punishments or expulsions or anything like that. You know, you had these massive brawls in the middle of the school.
Karate brawls.
Karate brawls. And see, I don't know how far you could take the whole thing, but the initial premise of it, I thought was genius.
I thought so, too. Because
I wanted to know what happened with Johnny.
Yeah, well, Johnny, and then they brought in this latest season. Remember, I think it was the third movie, the guy that that Daniel fought in Okinawa. That guy he had a real hot Okinawan girlfriend. Remember her? I can't.
Well, she made an appearance too.
Yes, she did.
That's maybe one of the last ones that I watched.
Yeah. And there's a whole new story arc surrounding her because I can't remember his name. The bad guy in that movie. I don't want to spoil too much in case you want to go watch it, but his uncle's name was Sato. Sato was Miyagi's main rival when they were kids, and they buried the hatchet, and then Daniel got in a fight with his nephew, and who this guy is. But there's a whole new story arc developing around that. And again, I don't want to pretend this is like great movie making or series making. This just is something I can sit down, not have to think about, and just watch some karate fighting every once in a while. And you know, it's a non-thinking, so it's a fun ride. I don't want to sit there and say that it's Academy Award winning shit. It's really not.
I haven't watched too much. The one thing I did watch the other night was there's a guy that I watch on YouTube, watched him for years, named Derek Beery, who has a channel called Vice Grip Garage. Mm-hmm. And his bit is going out, rescuing old cars and driving them home. So he'll drive, you know, 700 miles on some old beater that's been sitting in somebody's backyard for 20 years.
Wow.
He'll get it running there and then drive it home. And it's really entertaining. And he's really funny and seems like a really good guy, always has his wife and kids involved in it, and it's just good to see somebody like that. Well, he got a show on Motor Trend, which I was kind of disappointed in that. When these guys get opportunities like that, oftentimes the corporations take over and just destroy the whole spirit of what made them. And that didn't happen this time. It was really good. It's a better production value, but it was basically the same thing as his YouTube channel. So it was really good. And it's just that whole YouTube thing just fascinates me, because here's a guy that started out with an idea, put it up on YouTube, had, you know, a couple of viewers, and now he's got a big show on a streaming platform. And it's just amazing that these guys can do that kind of stuff, be it mechanics like that or, you know, woodworkers or whatever their YouTube channel is, like the stuff that I like to watch. Mm-hmm. and then they make it, you know, and they're making huge money off of that stuff too. So it's pretty neat to see that whole development, especially when you discovered somebody, you know, years ago and were one of the first few to watch them, and then all of a sudden they're really doing incredible things with what they've got.
Good old boy makes good, right? You know?
Well, it's just kind of cool to see.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there's another guy on YouTube. His name is Tyler Hoover. Do you know this guy?
Is it Hoovy's?
Yeah.
The Hoovy? He goes, yeah. Yeah, the Hoovy's used cars or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he evaluates.
He's very funny too. He's good. Yeah,
he's got very funny. Yeah. He's got 1.4 million followers. I think he's a Texan. Don't correct me, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's a Texan. Anyway, he put out something that's getting a lot of attention. The Blue State Conservative actually wrote an article about a recent review he did. And I actually, since you brought this up, I want to share it with you. He was evaluating the Ford F-150 Lightning, which is the all-electric pickup. Okay?
Right.
So what he wanted...
Very close to a $100,000 truck.
Oh, I know. I know. Wait. So he had the Lariat, the mid-grade Lariat. This was the medium battery size. Okay? Not the top of the line, but it was the Lariat. Okay? So he says, okay, I had this thing charged to do 200 miles. Okay? Mm-hmm. 200 miles. So he says, I'm gonna hitch up my aluminum trailer, which is nothing, as you know. And I'm gonna go across town 32 miles to pick up a Model A Ford truck. This is a pristine restored Model A. I'm gonna tow it back to my house. Okay. So round trip is 64 miles, and the Ford truck is what, 3,500 pounds. Okay. That's only one way loaded. He didn't get 100 miles.
Wow.
Before he had to recharge.
Yeah.
He barely got back to his home. Now, to be fair, he says, I'm pulling this thing and I can't tell I'm pulling anything. This electric motor is instantaneous torque. It's quiet. He goes, that's great. But he says, you're going to be every 100 miles or so, you're going to be stopping for 45 minutes.
Jeez.
To charge your damn truck. He says, this truck can't do truck things.
Yeah.
Which he says is stupid. His words, this is stupid. And I got to agree with him. It's stupid. He says,
I heard about what it takes to produce the batteries for these cars, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy went through all the statistics of what it takes to make these batteries and just how brutally harmful it is to planet Earth. And that's just to make the batteries. That doesn't talk about what you do with the dead batteries, because there's not much you can do with them. So
yeah, take a jaunt through a lithium mine. You know, have you seen a lithium mine? Oh, it is dirty and toxic. And yeah, so to mine it, it's toxic and hazardous to human health.
Yeah.
To manufacture it, same thing with solar panels. It's toxic to human health. And when it goes bad, it's toxic to human health. And pretty soon, all of these batteries are going to be filling up our landfills. And here's the dirty secret, man. If we used every known mine on the planet, we couldn't produce one generation of electric vehicles.
Yeah. And unfortunately, most of those mines are in China.
Yeah. Then there's that.
So, I don't understand the whole green movement at all.
And
when I was a kid in the 70s, they were worried about an ice age coming.
I know, 1976. I remember the headline.
Then it was global warming, and now it's climate change. And it's just, I don't understand how it's become such a religion for so many.
Well, absent real religion, that's what you've got. Man has a desire to know something greater than himself, to give him purpose, right? For Christians and for people of faith, it's God. It's the one true God. But for these leftists who reject God, they glom onto other things. And it's not even it's not even scientifically plausible, man, what they're trying to do. Nothing it makes sense. But when you say that the idea is to get people less mobile, then it makes sense to get them behooven to one political party to take all of that money out of the fossil fuel industry, which is typically leaned Republican, and put it into an entire industry that's totally in love and devoted to Democrats. Then it all makes sense.
I get that, but I don't understand how. Well, I mean, I understand it, and I don't want to hear your rant about schools, but you know, I know that it's taught in schools from kindergarten on, but you know, when you start getting a little older and thinking on your own, I don't understand how you can be brainwashed that much.
Yeah, well, That,
you know, when you start thinking about it,
that's what happens. That's why our kids, again, not to go on a rant, but the kids are not taught critical thinking the way you were and the way I am. So look at Nancy Pelosi. She hasn't had a critical thought in her life. Look at Joe Biden. He doesn't have a thought in his head. So, yeah. Hey, back to other things I've been finding. So, on Amazon, they've got the new Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I've been meaning to dive. I wanted to get a few episodes built up so I wouldn't have to wait, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to binge two or three at a time. And how is it? Because it looks incredible.
Visually stunning. The plot I'd give a B plus, A minus, okay. Only because it's still developing. The acting is quite good. And the story arc is believable. This is a prequel to it's the rise of Sauron, which is, you know, what The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings was on about.
Yeah.
It's the rise of Sauron. So I thought visually it is just gorgeous. The whole damn production. They didn't chintz on it whatsoever. Now, in contrast, they just couldn't do it on HBO. They had to bring back Game of Thrones. And my wife was the one that got me involved in Game of Thrones. Did you ever watch?
Watched the first two, maybe three seasons.
Yeah.
And I just got tired of waiting on the dragons. Tired of seeing naked men everywhere.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just, I don't know, just didn't care, I guess, after a while. And it just wasn't something that held my attention. And everybody's raving about... What is it? House of Dragons?
House of Dragons. I'm going to pan it, and I'll tell you why. First off, I joined the original Game of Thrones around season four. So it was already well established. I was catching up. So I got to see the dragons, and I got to see the final ending where the kingdom united and all the battling for the people's parentage and their secret parentage and the claim to the throne, all this other stuff, all the tragic twists. And then I got to see the series come to an end, which was fine. So then you go to Game of Thrones.
House of Dragons.
Yeah, the House of Dragons, the Targaryens. It's basically what you articulated. My wife says, I don't want to get into it because, again, all I see is swinging cranks and TNA. And it's like, it doesn't even advance the story. It's just it's just gratuitous. You can tell. They're just throwing it in there to be, you know, edgy. And you can tell.
Well, all right. I'll start watching it then.
the storyline isn't bad, but it's just after three episodes in, I'm like, man, this is just getting too weird. I mean, when you had a king that was trying to be married off to a 12-year-old girl, it's like, dude, I see exactly what you're doing. You know, it's trying to normalize this crap. They're trying to do it everywhere. And I was like, okay, out, just done, out.
I don't know. I just never cared about the whole dragon thing. And just, I don't know, just didn't really care.
Part.
So I didn't get into it.
That's the best part.
But, there's so much just incredible golden television on right now that I'm way behind because all I do is sit there and watch stupid YouTube videos and guys building old cars. But how's the Andor?
Oh, you know, I'm glad you asked because I talk about your slow starter. Now,
oh, really?
Yeah, Andor, for those of you who don't know, Andor is the installment on the latest Star Wars franchise. It is a prequel to Rogue One, which arguably I would say was probably the best Star Wars film ever made. I
thought it was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So this is the backstory behind one of the main characters in Rogue One, who tragically died. I don't want to, no, spoiler alert. He tragically died, but Andor is just really, really slow. But I got to say the latest episode did say, okay, you have a shot at saving it. So I'm going to give it one more episode.
Okay.
Obi-Wan was great. Obi-Wan was...
Really? Okay, because I've heard bad things about Obi-Wan.
No, I thought Obi-Wan was fantastic from the jump.
Okay.
Because he's an established character and and you wanted to figure out what was going on. Now, who told you it was bad? Sidway?
Yeah, I think just just a general, you know, listening to other people and hearing guys talk about it on the radio, whatever. Just not thrilled with it.
No, I thought it was really good. By the way, Scott Sidway is a former a compatriot of mine where Sean works, and he is every bit the Star Wars buff that I am.
Oh man, yeah,
and maybe even more so, which is tough to do. I just wanted to know where you got your information from. So I could always
run up him though, because I could say I saw the first one in the theater, dude.
Exactly, very true.
Even born,
very true. Very true. So, and then there are some offerings coming up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Probably not going to be of interest to you.
Don't care.
Did you see?
The only one I care about is Deadpool.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Deadpool. Mm. Deadpool 3 is coming out.
Yeah.
And the 3 on Deadpool 3, it's the mask of Deadpool. And the 3 is made with 3 slashing claws.
Right.
And that's to indicate Wolverine.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is going to come back as the Wolverine.
Ryan Reynolds is so likable.
I like him.
Now, have you heard of the show that he's on?
Which
is called Welcome to Wrexham. It's on it's on Hulu.
No.
This is taking the world by storm. He and the creator of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Never saw it.
Very, very funny, real edgy, but hilarious. Rob something is his name. I forget his last name. Anyway, he and Ryan Reynolds put up $2 million and bought a bottom level soccer club in Wales.
Wow.
And then just because I guess one of the guys that Rob McElhaney is his name, I believe, was working with, was a huge fan of soccer and learned about this club, became a fan. And anyway, they just started talking and saying, wow, that'd be really neat, and find out it's only $2 million to buy. And, you know, they got Ryan Reynolds money and TV money behind it. So, but then apparently the whole, and I don't know that we could, that anybody in America, maybe a small town football team, but the whole community is totally invested in this club.
Wow.
And so they, if you mess it up, you're evil, and you're destroying this whole community. So it's a documentary series on Hulu that apparently is you can't take your eyes off it. I mean, you'll just go after it, you know, it's go crazy streaming it, binge watching it.
Around soccer, really?
And I'm with you. And it's kind of like the F1 series on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen that F1 Drive to Survive.
No. So is it Friday Night Lights or anything like that?
No. It's all of the kind of behind the scenes stuff of Formula One racing.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to be a race car fan at all.
Dig it. Okay.
Because the drama is so good and it's all real and you get invested and you care about these characters. And just like the F1 series on Netflix, when that first came out, people who didn't know anything about F1 started watching it. And then all of a sudden F1 ratings shoot through the roof nationwide because of the show, and everybody's invested, and now everybody's, you know, Team Red Bull or Team Ferrari or whatever, you know, who's watched this series.
Wow.
And the same thing's happening with Wrexham. Now all of a sudden people are just really interested in European League soccer or British soccer. I don't know what leagues it is, but apparently the show is fantastic. I have not seen it yet, but I know everybody at work talks about it. And
it's going to have to be something. Incredible. I got to tell you, pal, it's going to be something really special if I'm going to get involved in soccer. I just got it. It better be.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I care less.
Okay.
But I think I'm let my Hulu lapse is the only reason I haven't watched it, but I'm going to have to to re-up and
we did too,
and get into this because apparently it's just fantastic television.
Well, we're cutting back as everybody is. So yeah. out trying to convince the missus to re-up Hulu. Well, we'll see. Okay. Last thing I have for you. How's your money situation?
My money situation?
Yeah. Can you use more money?
Yeah.
The Epic Times says you can earn $7.2 million in 6 months.
Okay.
Like this Arizona woman did.
Okay.
All right. 24-year-old. She's 24, dude. Wow. Multimillionaire. Arizona woman. She's arrested, though, and charged with crimes related to human smuggling. See, she is an employee of the narco-terrorists organizations. Oh. And so she's been using her El Mirage home. Her name is Tanya Estudio Hernandez. And she has been has held and processed 80 to 100 illegal aliens per month through her El Mirage home. And the cartels have rewarded her handsomely to the tune of about, well, this is the rationale from authorities. The illegal aliens were charged as much as $15,000 for smuggling fees, according to the police, at $15,000 a person for $80 per per month for 6 months. That totals around $7.2 million.
Wow.
That's how much she's pulling down before taxes.
Not too bad.
So you could go Breaking Bad to bring up another epic series from the internet, and you too could be making, even if you had to split that with the narcos, right? With the terrorists. Could you do with 3.5, you know?
It's the whole jail thing though. Yeah. That's just kind of a slight deterrent for me.
6 months. 6 months, you multimillionaire, you know, do a little time. You know, in Joe Biden's America, you're gonna be out in what, 2 or 3 months? Yeah. I'm gonna let you out.
Who knows about the El Mirage DA? Maybe he's one of these let him go guys. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Sean Breaking Bad. Hey, our new narco terrorist pal.
Yeah.
Sean Chastain. Me,
not me. I am worried about this rainbow fentanyl. Yeah. You know, you see these stories?
I have.
I mean, with Halloween coming up, it's a little scary.
Bill Wayburn. You know? Bill Wayburn, the
Sheriff of Tarrant County.
Tarrant County is really high on this, no pun intended. Because it's a serious danger, and the commies, through their intermediaries in the narco terrorist units, are marketing this stuff to kids.
Yeah,
it's not enough. They took out 107,000 people dead plus and counting. Now they're targeting our kids. It's like
300 a day over the last year or so, and it's terrifying. Man.
Bat guano crazy. All right, my friend. Yeah. Hey, you have a great week.
I will. You do the same. We'll talk to you next week.
And with that, the end of this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast and the show behind the show. Folks, do me a favor. Pay a visit to a couple of websites, won't you? First off, TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas. And if it impacts Texas, it's going to impact these United States. Also, head on over to ChrisSalcedo.com. There, you can check out how to leave me an email, a voicemail, book me for a speech. Follow the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, an app for that so you can hear it all over the country. And also the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock Eastern till 5 o'clock Monday through Friday. Till we visit again, my friends, remember, a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we, the people. See ya.
I'm Su Lin Wong, host of The Prince, a new podcast series from The Economist. It's about China's leader, Xi Jinping. He's the most powerful man in the world, but he remains a mystery. His story is hidden behind a brutal censorship and propaganda machine. After 10 years in charge, it looks like he'll break convention to stay on, perhaps for the rest of his life. I'll tell the real story of China's leader, the lessons he learned from watching his parents lose everything and from rising through the ranks of a vicious regime. Now, he's using those lessons to control over a billion people. He's changed China, he's changed my life, and the decisions he makes affect us all. To understand what's next, you need to know where he came from. Listen to The Prince from The Economist, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of long waits and rushed care at the ER and urgent care clinic? Next time, stay home and let Dispatch Health bring the power of the hospital to you.
I call Dispatch Health. A care team of medical professionals actually come to your house.
They're the same caliber of people that you would see if you were at a hospital or an urgent care.
Dispatch Health can treat most non-life-threatening emergencies.
They can do the x-rays, they can do stitches,
urinary tract infections, blood tests, urinalysis, ultrasound.
It's almost everything that they can do at the ER.
You never feel rushed. They're there for you and only you.
I felt like their only patient.
And it costs no more than a trip to urgent care because Dispatch Health is covered by most insurance, including Medicare. See if we serve your home at dispatchhealth.com.
Dispatch Health really went above and beyond.
It's wonderful to have care come to your home.
House calls are back, and they're better than ever. Learn more at dispatchhealth.com.